Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the frozen playground that is Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online, worldwide, or perhaps nationwide, on one of our affiliate stations, thank you for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our top three list, which is always...
Always.
That means every time.
Every single time.
Not every other time. not every fourth time. Every time inspired by the movie in question. So let's answer that question right here. This week on the queue, we're talking about the 2008 Swedes Be Trippin' vampire film.
I don't know. Swedes Be Trippin'.
You Swedes Be Trippin'.
Right. I think it won the award for that year.
Is there a Swedes Be Trippin' film?
And it won that
category?
Award.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't know.
The Swedish Oscars?
There should be, yeah. Oscar with a K, by the way.
Of course.
Always with a K. Yeah. We're talking about Let the Right One In, 2008. Not the remake. Let's get that clear right now. Establish this.
Right.
And we're talking about the Swedish version starring Kare.
Swedish people.
Had Swedish people in it.
A bunch
of
Swedish.
Yeah, I can't pronounce none of that Swedish stuff. It's all Swedish
to too me. Many K's and sons and daughters.
Chances of you seeing blonde hair, 100%. Starring Carrie. Hedda Brandt, I think I've seen.
See,
gone on the first one.
Lena Leanerston. there's your there's your two stars right there.
Actually, I want to throw out something real quick.
Go ahead.
Whoever, if you're on IMDb, please look up the actress Ikea Nord. She's got the best page cover ever.
Seriously?
Yes. It's just her in the bed in flames.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We'll get to the scene.
Wow. That's quite an accomplished actress, apparently.
Boom. There it is. Right. That is pretty good.
That's a pretty good scene.
We're talking about this film right here that he's pulling up on IMDb. Let the Right One In, 2008 Swedish version, directed by Tomas. Remember, it's Tomas, not Thomas.
Right.
Tomas Alfredson.
Yeah. It's always son or daughter.
Very common Swedish name. So if you have seen this film, here's what you do. You keep listening right now. You tune in. Yeah. To see if you agree with our take on it. But if not, don't let it stop you. Maybe even better, because that way you can see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself.
Sure.
That's the way this game is played. Yep. It's been played like that for like 82 episodes.
Yeah.
And played quite well, sir.
Yeah.
It's mostly on par. Right.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
As stated earlier, it inspires a top three list. This week is no different. We're talking about, it's a little obvious, but we have to go there. Top three undead characters.
Sure.
You don't have to.
Max, are we talking about human characters? What do you think, Savage? It doesn't have to be human.
No. We all know that nothing is taken for granted here. Yeah, the top threes.
Yeah, we always put a little twist on it. So maybe it's not all human undead. Who knows?
Who knows?
I'm
sensing something with your list.
Yeah, I kind of gave it away. I kind of gave my twist away.
Right.
Didn't
I? Yeah.
As stated, yes, I am Michael, along with, let's get some introductions here. To my left, we're talking about James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage.
Yeah?
Yeah. I had a pretty good week.
Did you?
Yeah. I had a fantastic week. You want to know why?
I do.
Well, first of all, let me tell you this much, guys. No one put my pants in a urinal and then peed on them and forced me to walk home in my drawers. Didn't happen.
That was Tuesday for me.
Yeah. You usually get into that in the summertime, don't you?
It was cold,
too. It's even worse in the winter.
I didn't have my face melted.
That's good.
Wednesday.
I can't believe this. I wasn't mauled by cats.
That didn't happen.
No, I can't believe that.
Yeah, I can't believe that either.
Right. That actually can happen in your case.
Matthew St. Hoodie, let's get over to you now. You're to Savage's left, and there you are.
Hey, hi.
Highlight of my week, always looking across the table, because that's where you sit from me. Eye to eye, man.
Yep.
Here we are.
Hello.
Going to talk about this Swedish movie.
Hello, neighbor.
And hello, darkness, my old friend, Max Gumbo Johnson.
Hey, is that what I am?
No.
I'm darkness now?
Absolutely not. You are light.
I'm the light.
Yeah, you're Charlie Murphy.
Yeah, Charlie Murphy. That's what I was
Darkness.
Thinking.
Darkness.
Savage, he didn't have to dye his hair blonde just because we're talking about this.
No.
Why'd you dye your hair
blonde? He commits. He commits.
Because that's how I roll, dog.
No, sir, you are raven-haired.
Some Swedes be acting crazy.
Slightly gray.
Like you said, I want to be one.
Yeah, you're, right. Oh, you're getting there.
Good.
Don't forget the eyebrows next time. You look kind of like
my Halloween
strange
early, buddy.
Like
there you go.
How about the producer? You want to get over there and say
sure,
hi to
him? Sure,
invite me in.
Yeah. Adam, you come in. Yeah, you can come in. All right. We're safe now. Adam, yeah, right. The greatest producer in the history of this Q Film Cast. Mm-hmm. Adam the Bomb Rogers. And there we are. Let's get into it, guys. There's your introductions.
Eloquent as always.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, you just end on a good note.
Yeah.
Greatest producer. Sure. Probably making the greatest show.
Probably.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
So we're all here. Let's talk about this film. Let the Right One In, 2008. Let's talk about who directed it to start out with.
Thomas
Alfredson. You ever seen Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy?
Nope.
Yes. That's the guy.
Pretty good movie.
I've heard that. It was good. I haven't seen it.
I went and seen that with our buddy Greg.
Yeah.
And yeah, Greg one day. And it's a long burn.
Yeah.
But it's good. I thought it was better than I thought it would.
Yeah, well, I'll watch anything Gary Oldham does. So.
Yeah. It's a long-ass movie, though.
Because I liked Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
I almost like everything he's in.
Yeah.
Written by, based on the novel, John Lindqvist.
Yeah, yeah, it's yes. Close enough.
I'm going to leave it right there.
There you go.
Stars, as previously stated, Carrie Heldebrand, Lena Leanderson with two S's. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
They're known for this, Broken Hill Blues, Cupid's Balls.
What?
He's in the movie.
Is that real?
He's known for the movie Cupid's Balls. That's his last movie.
I don't think he's known for that.
Well, I had to write. Listen, if someone's in a movie called Cupid's Balls, I'm going to tell you about
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
And they probably are known for that movie.
Big hit in Sweden. Big hit.
But here's the thing.
It's huge numbers in Sweden.
It's a Swedish film. Do you think there's just a problem with translation here?
Yes.
They don't realize that it translates to Cupid's Balls.
Like maybe he held dances.
Let's talk about who selected this, because every week we go around the table and we cue up a film. So this is the producer's selection this week. Adam the Bomb Rogers says, hey, I want to talk about 2008's Let the Right One In. And here we are, Adam. Why'd you want to cue this film up?
I'm a huge John Lindqvist book fan, and I love this movie, and I wanted to talk about it and see what y'all wanted to say about it.
I know he wrote something else, too, about a zombie.
Oh, Handling the Undead.
I want to read that.
Oh, it's so depressing, but so freaking good.
Yeah. Maybe they'll make that into a movie.
They are.
Yeah, okay.
How? It's a bunch of short stories, isn't it?
No, not that book.
All right, good. So you like the literature, you like the film. Why would you pass this up as an opportunity to talk about it? Yeah, no way. He ain't going to happen. So here we go. Let's talk about some of the ratings, what the critics thought of the film. Critique the critics.
Sure. That's what we do.
I think we do that every week.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Max Gumbo Johnson, I'm going to go to you first. You know how this game is played. IMDb, something point something. What do you think the critics gave this film on IMDb?
8.2 by users.
Well, it's IMDb. So
it's all users on IMDb.
Okay.
Yeah, see.
I thought we should clarify that after 85 episodes.
Right.
First I heard. 8.0, Max Gumbo Johnson.
Look at him. Oh, all right.
Close. Pretty close.
Yeah. Close.
Margin of error.
Sure.
Yeah, let's go over to the James Hartsub Savage, sure. Rotten Tomatoes, critics-wise. What do you think they gave this film?
Critics probably liked it. I'll go with probably 82 as well.
98%.
Whoa!
Wow.
Yeah, 98% and a lot of reviews, too. Real hot there. What do you think the users gave this hoodie? Rotten Tomatoes, something percentage.
I'm going to split the difference. Try for a 90.
Boom, bing.
Wow, look at that.
Right boom, bing. A boom and a bing.
That's awesome.
Going out with a bang. There you go.
No, more like a bing.
Oh, bing, that's right. You know what we need to do? Stop right here. Talk about what the film is about. Let's read the synopsis on this film.
All right.
In case you don't know. You ready?
Sure.
We're talking about Let the Right One In. 2008 goes a little something like this. Oscar, spelled with a K. Yeah, obviously. A fragile, anxious boy living in a small Swedish town is regularly bullied, but he never strikes back. The lonely boy wishes daily for a friend, and one day, just like the snow in the film, that wish seems to fall upon him when he meets 12-year-old Ellie, a pale, serious young thing who only comes out at night, seems wise beyond her years, and not at all affected by the freezing temperatures. Coinciding with Ellie's arrival is a series of inexplicable disappearances and murders. One man is found tied to a tree, another frozen in a lake, a woman bitten on the neck. Blood seems to be the common denominator. And for an introverted boy like Oscar, who's fascinated by gruesome stories, It doesn't take long before he figures out that Ellie may just be the thing that horror stories are made from. Soon their fascination with each other leads to a subtle romance, one that gives Oscar the strength to fight back against his aggressors. As they grow closer, though, Oscar becomes increasingly aware of the tragic, inhuman dimension of Ellie and of what her existence may lead to. But still, Oscar cannot bring himself to forsake her, and with the burgeoning feelings and confused emotions of a typical young adolescent, he knows that Ellie can only continue to live if she continually moves on. But when Oscar is suddenly faced with his darkest hour, Ellie returns to defend him the only way she can. How's that?
Oh, that's pretty good.
I just read the short story, I think.
The guy from Child of God gonna come here. I like that pretty good.
It's not like right. Spoiled it or anything.
Yeah.
Mr. Makes Spoily Pants.
Did you know that after its 2008 release, Let the Right One In received widespread critical praise? In 2010, Empire Magazine ranked it number 15 on its all-time top 100 films of world cinema.
Wow.
And has recently been placed number 28 on Time Out's polls of the most important horror films of all time. Voted by actors, writers, directors who have worked in the horror genre. There you go. That's the film we're talking about, guys. Right there, 2008, Let the Right One In. We'll come back, tell you what we thought of this one as well. Here you go. Anyways, here we are. That was a piece from the film Let the Right One In. I do think so. And we're going to talk about this film.
Yep.
So let's do this, Savage. What do you say?
I say let's do it.
Hoodie, you amped?
I'm amped.
Calm down.
Okay.
Max, get your pants on. Everyone's like, I gotta tell Max to get his...
Every show, Max.
Every show.
That ain't pee.
85 times.
Here we go. Let's talk a little bit about trivia. Facts and figures, things about the film.
Okay.
We know we can do this. Let's rip through this one real quick. Did you know that selecting the lead actors involved a long one-year process with open castings held all over Sweden?
A year?
Yeah.
Only at night.
In the end, 11-year-old Carrie Heldebrandt and Lena Leanderson were chosen for the roles. Took a year, though.
I knew that second part.
Okay. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I knew that part.
He really wanted to get it right, so they took a long time with the cast.
He wanted to find the right one.
Oh. He wanted to let the right one in the cast.
Get it?
Yeah. Did you know that several tricks were used to create the right sound effects for some of the gorier scenes? Biting into sausage was used to replicate biting into skin and flesh. Huh. And drinking yogurt was used to sound like drinking blood. Huh?
Hey. That's how long called, it took it to work. Find the right sounds.
No, that's called Foley
work. Years. Lifetime.
What's that all about?
A lifetime of practice.
Did you know that the novel presents Ellie in the book? She's presented as an androgynous boy, castrated centuries before by a sadistic vampire nobleman. But the film handles the issue of Ellie's gender more ambiguously. A brief scene, and I think we've seen this, in which Ellie changes into a dress, offers a glimpse of a suggestive scar, and I kind of like that. You don't really know what the hell that is, but yeah. I guess in the book it's told in detail. Did you know that the title of the film, of course you do, refers to the fact that, according to myth, vampires must be invited in before they can enter someone's home?
That's not according to myth. That's one of the rules.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a vampire fact, sir.
It's a fact, man.
Do you have to, like when you eat Count Chocula, do you have to like invite the box of Count Chocula into the house? Like
I was always cereal? A blueberry man.
If you bought it, that's an automatic.
Oh, is that what you do? Okay.
You let him in.
So
it's an implied Dracula invitation.
Like, if I'm giving Dracula a piggyback ride, yeah, and I just happen to walk into my house, right, then he's...
He's on.
By default, invited in.
I guess technically, yeah, he's invited.
Right. Mental note.
Carry him in.
Post-it time. Yeah, I got it.
Right.
Did you know that both John Lindqvist and Thomas Alfredson admitted they do not like or care for vampires? The guy that wrote it and the guy that made this movie don't like vampires.
What a bunch of phonies.
Right. Well, maybe that's who you needed for this, someone with a fresh take.
Nah, they're liars, both of them.
Did you know that in the final scene, Oscar and Ellie use Morse code to communicate? They are tapping out the letters P-U-S-S. Which in Sweden stands for small kiss.
Aww.
Wait. I want to go one more. I want one more. Did you know where the title of this film came from? It's actually come from a Morrissey song, Let the Right One In.
That's not where it comes from, dude. Come on.
No, that's where the title of this movie comes from, is from the
It has
Morrissey
nothing to
song.
Do with the vampire myth and a vampire
But it doesn't
movie.
Matter. That's where the title came from. And the sequel to the book, the song is the second title from the song, which is Let the Old Dreams Die.
Well, maybe he's onto something there.
Maybe.
Maybe Morrissey's a vampire.
Just ruined the title of this movie for me.
Whatever.
He's so moody.
Daniel Alfredson is the brother. I'm sorry. Thomas Alfredson is the brother of Daniel Alfredson, not the soon-to-be Hall of Fame hockey player, but the other well-known Swedish film director. So they're both Swedish film directors.
Sure, right? Sure they are.
And I'm sure they play hockey.
They probably do. Probably pretty good. You know how I feel about Swedish hockey players.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do.
Big Midwestern farm boys and two Swedes. Give me a fin and net. I'm good to go. Let's talk about currency.
Yes.
Because, Gumbo, you know this. We don't thumbs up, thumbs down.
No, that is crumpled.
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 That's right.
It's just crumpled.
Yeah. It's just crumpled a mess.
That's right. We don't use that.
It's crumpled.
We're going to use something relative to the film.
We always do.
And we're talking about attacking vampire cats.
No.
Vampire attacking cats.
Vampire attacking cats.
Wow, that really made a difference.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah, because the cats are not vampires.
Right.
I have vampire, a script, though, now.
It might be all right. I have the cast for you. And the protagonist. A vampire attacking cats.
Yes.
Cats be going crazy in this film.
And Sweden,
like
man.
The Swedes.
Whew.
Swedish cats? Come on, man.
I tell you what, when a cat latches onto your inner thigh, that's some tender meat. I've had this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
all that Swedish fish they eat.
All right, let's talk about... Why did that make me laugh?
I don't know.
All right, let's get into what we thought of this film. We know about trivia. We went into a little bit of that. We know what the critics think. They all loved it. We know the producer loved it. I'm going to go to you first, producer. You get this done. Kick it out. You queued it up. So tell us what you give this film, and there you go.
I'm at a 10, but I've been at a 10 for a long time.
Oh, look at
very,
this.
Very, very long
That's
time.
What he tells all the ladies.
I'm at a 10. I'm not a 10, but I'm at a 10.
At level 10 of Fruit Ninja.
Yeah, well, that's no surprise. That's no surprise. We knew you were going to go there. Yeah, Hoodie, what about you? You know he has a 10.
He's
a lot of
a
people
10.
Like this. Where are you on this one? How many attacking cats?
I can only go with 8 attacking cats.
Okay, 8. Still not bad.
8. Maybe more. I just feel like 8's my number.
8 is your
feels
number.
Right.
Ooh. Let's see if we can get a sandbag
out
of James Hartsub Savage. I can kind of tell from body language at times. Surprise me, though. How many attacking, vampire attacking cats. Are you giving Let the Right One In?
I thought it was well done. I thought there was a kind of a new take on it. So I'll give it a 7 attack cats.
There you go. 7. All right. We're getting up
7
there
Swedish attack cats.
10, 8, 7 Sweden. Max Gumbo Johnson. I'll round this one out. So you
but
go
you're
next.
Wearing lederhosen.
That's the wrong thing.
He let the wrong one in.
Put the wrong ones on. I'm going to go 8 on this one. I might go up to a 9. I could maybe go up to 9 attacking cats, but I don't want 9 cats attacking.
I can provide that.
I think I could beat 8 off. But 9, not happening. I meant I could warp off 8 cats.
Of course, that's what you meant. So
all right, Mr. Freud.
Hoodie's eyes lit up. His eyes lit right up with that, Max.
I said, I challenge you.
Why, are you a
it
cat?
It was all the Lederhosen talk.
All right, listen, you know what I do? I like to get my crap out of the way so I can just let you guys roll. I'm going to kick off the conversation, tell you what I thought.
All right.
I wrote a little something.
Did you now?
Yeah, I did. Is that a good sign? All right. Let me tell you what, this is a film that, for me, is hard to categorize because it goes across so many categories. It can be labeled as all sorts of things. And I would tell you that even though you're watching a film, everything about this felt like literature to me. Felt like literature, and very good piece of literature, too. I'm not interested in trying to define it. I'd rather just tell you what it is, which to me is a spectacularly piece of good work. It's a Pier 10 in every way you want to go. It's one of my all-time favorite films. I was absolutely transfixed when I saw this in 2008 in the theater, Belcourt. I think it's gorgeous. Everything on screen is perfectly in place, holds up the weight of the story. The central characters are oozing with purpose. And the performances from the kid or anyone else, even the cats, they're divine. Absolutely divine to me. This thing is shot so well that it left me slack-jawed first time, second time, 10th time I see it. From the opening cold falling snowflakes set against Oscar's first words to the tragic ending where he taps his sweet nothings on a train to hell. Bookend a story that just could not have been delivered any better than this to me. It's wondrous. It's compelling, original, sinister, and beautiful. The score is cold, desperate, and haunting. The shots, or you can even call them pages, because that's the way it felt to me, looked like they were painted on glass. As far as all the characters go, the thing I love most is they don't exist to tell you who they are. It propels the story. Everybody exists to show you who Ellie is and just how brutal her past may have been, what she's had to endure, or in the case of Oscar, what his path may be as he becomes a caretaker. The writing in this thing is so grand, it's almost stupid. And I haven't read the book. No reason to think it's not spellbinding, because the movie sure is. It's one of the most special movies I've ever seen. Absolutely love this film. Perfect 10.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Fancy. And there it's an Adam.
Yeah, go figure that.
Wow. You and Adam together. How's that feel?
Not good.
It's a strange thing, isn't it? Not
good. Someone castrate me. I want to be a 13-year-old boy.
It was bound to happen.
How about Adam? Let's go back to you, man. You want to talk about why you gave it a 10? You want to get into some things?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's perfect. What else do you need me to say?
We could talk about scenes. Because
you could tell us why you liked it, maybe. Expound a little bit.
Everything. I mean, I don't want to give anything away to anyone. I want everyone in this.
Oh, like okay, this show worries about spoilers.
Show's over. Can't talk about the movie.
I want everyone to watch this.
Have you heard this show?
How amazing this film is.
Well, he can leave it broad like that. We can get into some scenes. Maybe that's better.
Yeah,
I love the horror. I love the story. I love their relationship between the boy and the girl, even the handler and him and the girl as well. This is just a perfect film. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, okay.
Nick and Moni. for a movie that you love so much, I would hope you had a little more to say about it.
Right.
How about
I want y'all to talk about
it. Well, you know, if he hates it, he'll write a page about it. Yeah,
I can't wait. Let's go over to Hoodie. Hoodie, you went up there, I think, 8. You said that felt right.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what you liked this film and maybe where it fell short for you.
Honestly, I really don't think that it did fall short. I think it's just more of a just a personal opinion on the 8. I don't know what it didn't deliver. It hit you right. It hit Adam right. And for the most part, it really did hit me right. It had one of the things I really respected about it, I think, is that it had the classic vampire story kind of woven into it that really didn't beat you over the head. I mean, even the guy going to kill her with the knife and the stake and all that. Yeah. The subtleties in the movie are what keep popping out at me every time I watch this movie. And that was one of the last things that popped out was the classic vampire story that I never noticed. How did that happen? How does that? Because I think this movie's advertised as like the new take on being a vampire like a different, you know, a different vampire story. But it's really not. It's the same story just told immaculately better than anything else I've seen in the last 10 years.
I like what you said, because most vampire movies, they lose that element of the classic story.
Yeah.
This classic take on who these people are. This had that. It felt like an
every
old
bit
tale,
of it. You know? Yeah, every bit of it. Yeah. Really enjoyed it. The effects kind of, I think in 2008 they were probably okay, right?
The cats weren't that great.
Yeah, the cats were the weakest part of that.
Yeah, that was the worst. Yeah,
but her face,
everything else, I thought
awesome.
was pretty good. Though.
Yeah, I did enjoy that when she was licking his blood when he cut his hand to offer the
Blood Brother.
Thank you, Blood Brother. Right. I blanked on that one. Completely different actress.
I wrote that down. That was
I rewound it. It is completely.
That's what I thought.
I would hope at least.
Well, maybe they had to show that she transformed when blood was
thinking,
around or something.
I'm thinking that's what happened. She turned into a monster, and I think they got
maybe
like
she showed her true age.
Do you think he did that to test her?
That's probably what it was.
Like he was testing to see if I bleed out here.
No.
I want to see what she
thinks. He wasn't aware of it at that time.
Maybe, though. I don't know.
I think he was aware of it.
No.
That's another great thing about the movie is you can watch it in a number of different times and take something different away.
Well, what about you, Max? Get into some of this film.
I really like this movie. All the things Matt said, you know, it sticks with the classical vampire elements. It tells them in a bit of a different way, you know, as kids. But what you said, that a lot of the elements of vampires have not been there lately. Well, I mean, if we're talking about a particularly popular but sucky vampire series, yeah.
You mean the glitter fairies?
Yeah, that horse crap, bunch of dung. But there have been some good vampire films in the past few years. Just nobody saw them. But yeah, this is it's a pretty fresh take on the whole thing. But yeah, I really did like how they incorporated all the classic elements of, you know, what a vampire is, what they can do, what they, you know, you gotta ask them in, they can crawl up the walls and they turn into wolves and bats and all that kind of stuff. They incorporated all that into the movie without, like he said, without them beating you over the head with it. It just was there. And I think, you know, if you showed this movie to the Twilight crowd, they'd be like, stupid, get that, where were you?
I had to read this film.
Yeah, they probably were.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
Even if they had it, you know, translated.
Oh, yeah. Let me in?
What do you mean they got to be invited in? Well, you don't know what a real vampire is, you know? And I hate to say real vampire, because there's no such thing as vampires.
Easy
killer. I'm not that stupid.
I have a book that disproves that.
No, you don't. I have a book that proves there's a man in the sky over the clouds that's telling us all what to do, so let's go there. But yeah, I really like this. I liked everything about it. There were a couple of little problems I had that kept me from going to a 10. I might still be able to go to a 9. I'll just say it right now. That first kill, when the dad goes out, the caretaker goes out.
Yeah.
I thought that was awful.
Why was that awful?
Let me see. I'm going to go kill this guy and drain his blood. Where do I tie him up? Oh, how about under a public... let's go to a public park and tie him up under a lamp post.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought about that, but I think...
Cars driving by.
I know, but you know what? That...
And then he's surprised when somebody's walking up. Uh-oh, now what do I do? But did you not think there would be people in a public park?
Yeah, come but on. You know what, though? I looked at that, and I thought, that wasn't by accident. What am I trying to get from this? I thought, here's a guy that's been her caretaker for far too long. He's sloppy. He's disengaged.
Or wants to be caught.
That's played out later. But he acted like someone who he's fed up. He can't do this anymore. He doesn't care if someone sees him or not. He doesn't care if it's under a light or not.
Oh,
I thought that's
hogwash. I say.
Well, that's what I got from it.
He poured the acid on his face.
Yeah.
He's a mess. Away. He's a mess. But I don't think that his heart was in it at all.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah. He was burned out.
He did still care about her and didn't want to give her away. Sure. So he
and that
did.
Showed
he did
during
care.
His scene.
Yeah, he was an interesting character to me, the caretaker, because you don't know. All you know is that at the end, this is possibly how Oscar's life is going to end.
Yeah,
that's another one of those little subtle things that will kind of kick you in the butt.
Yeah, there's a lot here, man. I can get into a lot of this.
Yeah.
I thought that was purposeful. I thought that showed to me that...
You don't think so?
You're talking about the end?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely on purpose.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We'll get into scenes, but you did...
Now,
that's something
the short story, that's not how Oscar ends.
Oh, God, would you stop? We're talking about the movie.
Stop. We don't want to get in. Savage, can I jump over to Savage here real quick? You gave this a 7.
Yeah.
What you got?
I like what Hoodie said. It does have all the, and I didn't think about this when I was watching it. I thought it was a very simple vampire story.
Yeah.
And now that I think subtle is a better word. I think it has all the classical elements of a subtle. And I think, to Max's point, I think we've got so ingrained with the romanticized vampire story that like the simple living vampire story is something, it seems fresh because all they're doing is hiding out in a hotel room. You know, I mean, yeah, there was the moment where they showed the treasure that they had collected or she had collected. But other than that, it kind of sucks. It's kind of a sucky existence, you know.
Yeah.
And I just found it to be very simple, almost pedestrian in a way.
Oh, God, I don't see how I could put pedestrian
well,
with this.
I mean, it was nice looking, you know, the winter scenes. But it just seems simple to me. I mean,
you need to watch it again.
Boy, I say this is one of the most complex things I've seen in a long time.
I don't know.
I'm telling you.
There's a lot of stuff. And I was expecting you to say something about, like, all the reflections in the glass, all the hands being put on the glass. There's a lot of separation between all the characters where they would put their hands on the glass.
Well, there are definitely themes of isolation and loneliness. I mean, but that's all vampire. That's what that archetype is.
But this movie did it, again, in a very new... A really beautiful way.
I think subtle is the best way to say it, and maybe I'm
beautiful.
Maybe I missed the subtlety of it, and I mistook subtlety for simplicity.
Right.
Let's talk about some scenes. Let's get into that.
Okay.
You know, I talk about the scenes, but I want to talk more about the writing. I mean, to me, that's what separates it above everything else, and the scenes really pull that in. I mean, Oscar's story. Yeah, talk about the opening scene. You know, you have the snow coming down, very iconic to me. That's the way it opens up. Just snow on half the screen. So automatically you're looking at it going, why is only half the screen? Everything about the scene selection and the way they set it was of interest to me. Almost like the scene you talked about earlier with the guy and the streetlights in the background.
Yeah.
It was just something to make you wonder. But then the dialogue comes in. The first thing you hear is squeal like a pig. And from that point, these characters are off and running to me right from the very first hint of dialogue. Is this a psycho kid? Did he just kill somebody? Is he killing somebody? Who's saying this? And then it pulls back and he's shirtless standing in front of this frozen pane of glass. Wondrous. And the scenes just go from that point to that point to that point. And all of Oscar's story is like that to me. I think I like the first scene all the way through the last. I can't really pick one out, to be quite honest. But as far as scenes that jump out, Savage, which one comes to the surface for you?
There were some nice-looking things with this. I always appreciate a film that's shot well in the dark.
Yeah,
David Lynch does it really well. He does dark very well. Mm-hmm. This film did dark very well, and I think a lot of it was the contrast of the snow. You have the reflective surface of the white, and that maybe goes back to Hoodie's thing about reflections. And so it was nice to look at. You know, it was very cold and barren, and I think that plays to the vampire story. One of the things I gravitated to as far as the scene was the Renfield character. I don't know her caretaker. I just called him Renfield because he is the equivalent of Renfield to a Dracula.
Okay, I didn't think about that, but yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see the parallel classic. There. Yeah.
Classic. Exactly. There you know, his murder box. I mean, it's like he packed up his little murder box and like, okay, I'm going to go murder somebody. Like a little tackle box with this funnel. And
yeah. He was a blood collector. Those were his tools.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I call it a murder box.
I call it a hobby box.
Hobby box.
My hobby.
You know, I did start to fall into the relationship. I thought the relationship with them was very well done.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite scenes was when he toyed with her about, what if I don't invite you in?
Yeah. And he tested her like that.
And then she did come in.
Yeah.
And then that happened. I thought that was a very powerful scene. I've never seen that in any vampire film. So.
And it was effective. I mean, you start to see her bleed out from the shoulders and seep blood.
Yeah.
And forget the gore factor, the emotional weight of it, where she was like, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to prove to you
right.
who I am.
Right.
To the point where she couldn't take it anymore and he couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. 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 I thought that was incredibly well done. Yeah. So I did buy the thing. I thought the bully thing was a little overplayed. Like his bullies were a little overplayed.
He was a little prick too, wasn't he, that kid?
Hated that kid.
I think the bullies played out well.
He looked like the kid from Christmas Story too.
He did, yeah, he did. Yeah. Adam, did you have something to say there?
No, I just thought the bully aspect played out really well. I thought it added to his character.
Yeah, and it felt necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it was necessary. I thought it helped drive him to her more.
Well, it certainly
did. He needed
that
friend. But... He was the outsider. He was always picked on. He needed a friend, and he finally got the friend, and that helped both of them build that relationship up.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It was one of my favorite scenes, too.
Yeah, you talk about it, Hoodie. What rises to the top for you?
Out of all the gorgeous scenes in this movie, my favorite scene was when he hit the kid with a stick.
Ooh, yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he drew back.
He looked so satisfied.
It was. He actually.
He was just, he just exhales, and then in the next scene, he's looking up, and the light's, like, shining down on him.
My
like,
God, that's like, exactly the way I would describe this scene.
Yeah.
I like it when something I see is seen by someone else. He almost looks like he's a towering giant.
He's enraptured.
The camera's focusing up at him like that.
Yeah. It was great. That's my favorite scene of the whole movie. It's Go great. Figure.
Really.
It's a gorgeous movie. I liked it when he got hit with a stick.
You know, and it's not just, but it brings
the simple things in life.
But it brings so much to the movie. Yeah. Because this kid is such a picked on, he's busting to come out.
Yeah.
You know that there's a warrior, there's a tempest in there, something giant inside.
Yeah.
And that scene says, all right, it's there. You know, it's there. And it really, you feel the strength of this kid is just bubbling under.
Yeah,
sure. Because he'd started working out.
He was working out. Yeah. Those little twigs.
I could hear he was up to 20 Eye the Tiger in the background, I think. A Swedish version, I think.
Version. Have a version. I thought, well, not only did I really like that scene, it was really satisfying to see that kid get that stick upside his head. Like, almost slice his ear off. That was awesome. Right.
Connie. His name was Connie.
His name was Bully. I think another big reason that scene worked so well to me was it solidified his relationship with her because he wasn't going to do anything to this guy.
No, she told him.
And she told him, look, hit him. Just hit him back. Hit him back.
Hit him harder than you ever thought. Yeah. Think you could.
And he finally does it, and you're like, oh, yeah, it worked. It worked. She told him what to do. Now, you know, he's going to be like, oh, yeah, you were right. You were right. And it made their relationship that much stronger as far as I'm concerned.
There was reasons for them to rely on one another now.
Yeah. And he needed somebody to – he really needed a little kick in the butt to get going. He was a little pansy.
And when you look at it, like, the end scene, which it did take me a couple viewings of this movie to really get that Oscar was her new handler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you think about the old handler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At one point, he was probably Oscar, and she was doing all
these
things
exactly
to him. So,
so
looking at it through that, it's like, wow, this is such a really – really – just an intricate movie.
That was certainly implied.
Story. Yeah. Well,
it was a powerful ending because of that. Where are they going, Hoodie? I mean, you know what's waiting.
To the next town? She's like, they're like the Hulk. They just
Germany.
Go to the next town.
And you know what, though?
Argentina.
No, they actually go to Germany.
Oh, my God.
So it's a boring movie.
Yeah.
As far as scenes that I really love, besides that one, I love the end scene in the pool.
Yeah. I thought that was like the one.
That was
like,
awesome.
That's the best scene.
That's
I
like,
love that scene.
Where they go full gore.
We may have to have one little segment on that because that scene is just off the charts.
The way that thing is staged and choreographed is just
nuts.
Out of this world. Good.
The camera is slightly off. It's slightly crooked. You almost have a chaotic feel about it. He's under the water with his eyes shut. He's once again just in his mind, and you see everything out of focus, just going bonkers in the background.
Bananas.
Mm. Yeah.
And the fact they didn't show it to you, does that bring more to it?
Oh, yeah.
Very, absolutely. The only thing I didn't like about it was the hand stayed on his head through the whole thing.
I thought that was a little...
Yeah, the kid's just holding him underwater while everybody's getting butchered, and then he loses an arm. That kind of bothered me a little bit.
You think that would have been the first guy she'd have gone for.
Or he would have taken his hand off the kid to run.
Something.
Right.
Something.
Well, tell us what happened in the book, Adam. Go ahead.
No, I'm good.
Aesthetically, it was gorgeous.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. I think that should be used in film schools. Like, this is how you shoot this kind of scene.
And that's why I went back to my original premise that the outside characters still tell the story of the main characters. Like the girl, the woman that gets bitten by Ellie, that becomes a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw that as, okay, this is Ellie's backstory. At one point, we know how she woke up one morning terrified when her fingers were glowing, afraid of the sun.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I felt the weight of Ellie's story in that, not so much the woman. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Everything compels and brings back to the idea that it's all about these two.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
One scene I have to bring up. Maybe you guys can back me up on how good I thought. I thought this was great. The first kill, Ellie's first kill. And by the way, there's still a lot of tenderness in the beginning between her and her caretaker.
Yeah.
She touches his face. You see that this thing is fading out. This is the last flickering part of their relationship with one another.
Yeah.
She's going to need someone else. He's burnt out. He's done. When she pulls back and she's so pissed off because he didn't get her the blood, you could see hunger in her face.
Yeah.
I mean, she looked like she had to have a meal.
Yeah.
So, you know, at that point, this has been a struggle to keep this thing going.
Yeah.
Emotionally on this dude, he's having to kill people.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't want him to do it.
He's married to a monster.
Yeah, exactly. But when she kills that first dude and is shot underneath the bridge, and is shot way far back, all you see is a shadow of this demon child jumping on this guy's head. That's more effective to me than if they panned in and showed it to me.
Of course, that's what good horror movies do.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Exactly. That's exactly
Now watch that same scene and Let Me In, and you'll see a complete different story.
I don't think I want to now. But she even tells him, he says, what's wrong, little girl? And she looks at, you can just hear her say, be careful. She doesn't want to do this.
That's why it's a good horror movie. That's what good horror movies do. That's why this is a good example.
Give me another example of what makes this a good horror movie that we haven't talked on, Max. Anything in there that I haven't touched on or anyone else?
It all goes back to that. The basic element of that scene. You don't really see a whole lot in here. You think you see a lot more than you do. They don't explain everything to you. I mean, I can give you a prime example. Halloween, 1978. Fantastic horror movie. Halloween, whatever, 2006. Awful horror movie.
Easy.
I don't need to know. It's a terrible movie.
The remake, you liked it?
I like Rob Zombie.
I like the remake.
It was a piece of junk. I don't need to know. I don't need Michael Myers' backstory.
Well, okay.
If I don't know it, it makes him scarier. If I do know it, I'm going, oh, well, I know what happened to him. Who cares?
Right.
That's what a good horror movie can do, and this one does it perfectly.
Yeah. Well, you know her backstory, kind of. You know she's got a handler that probably go back.
That's every vampire.
Yeah, oh, come on. You don't know any of her backstory.
No, I don't know
anything
about her.
She's got all these treasures that are worth years. Nuclear plants and
yeah.
You don't know anything.
Ancient artifacts.
Right.
Yeah, what was that thing? What was the
She's got scars around her junk.
Yeah, I mean, all that just works for me. I don't want to know more.
You don't have to know anymore.
You don't need to know more than that.
Yeah, and part of a good horror movie is you see more of the impact of the killing than the actual killing, if, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just look at Jaws.
Look at Jaws. That's right. Fantastic film.
What did you think of the Jungle Gym stuff when they first meet? There's two scenes in the Jungle Gym that I liked a lot, too, and that's when the first conversation, she's just standing there, and immediately the aesthetic of her standing there in her bare feet is gorgeous to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that pulls me in like, I got to know who this woman is, this girl is. And she goes up to him. He says, I want to be left alone. She says, so do I. He says, you smell funny. Aren't you cold? And she said, no. I kind of forgot how.
Yeah.
Whoa. Who's this, right?
Right.
And then they meet again. And here's your backstory for her. He says, what's your name? She won't answer. How old are you? She says, 12, more or less. And then she says to him, how old are you? And he says, 12 years, 9 days, 8 months. 8 months, 9 days. He knows specifically how old he is. She doesn't have a clue.
Well, she's been 12. And she's been 12 for a long time.
Yeah. But that said a lot to me.
And he's pretty bored, doesn't have any friends, so he can count the days.
Right, okay.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah. But it was almost kind of a Linda Blair Exorcist thing when, Friedkin kept her in a locker? And it was like, because it was really cold, and she was barefoot and with no warmth on her. So that must have been a hard shoot on her.
They could make fake snow.
They're in Sweden.
Peanut butter.
Yeah.
Right.
And marshmallows.
Hey, we talked a lot about the cats, too. Obviously, that's our...
Cat attack.
Yeah, look at my notes here. We better touch on that since we're using 1 to 10 attacking cats. Anybody want to go first on that? What's your opinion, Odie, on the attacking cats?
Well, I thought the CG was pretty bad. Yeah, but
I wanted to pull that out of you.
But it was really, an interesting scene. I like that it's in there. I would have kept it had it been my call.
Yeah.
If I had seen this and been like, Matt, do you want to keep that or lose that? I would have been like, let's keep that.
It did kind of look like they drug out the cat from Reanimator.
It did?
Yeah. Oh, it really did. You're right.
Might have been.
It was interesting. I thought it pushed her story very much.
You know what else pushed her story, too, and how bad she wanted to fit in when he gave her a piece of candy? And she knows it's going to make her sick as hell, but she ate it anyway.
I love that.
Oh, that one, yeah.
I love that, where she tried the chocolate. Oh,
and then, he just goes up and he just hugs her. Mm-hmm. I mean, that devastated me.
She knows how to get the guys. Chocolate. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
How many little pieces of candy? How many did she have to eat for the other handler? That's what I'm thinking.
I know, right.
You've done this before. You've played this game, haven't you?
It was hard candy back in those days.
But, you know, the more I'm thinking about it, there are just distinct little, boom, jabs in this movie that pull it together. Something like that.
I thought it was interesting when she climbed in his window and took her clothes off and got in bed with him. And he was like, oh, you're cold and blah, 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 blah. And she said, I think it was in, it might have been this scene or in the candy scene where he asked her if she wanted to go steady.
Yeah.
And she said, well,
what does that mean?
Maybe I'm not a girl.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, do you want to go steady? I'm like, what?
This sweet, man.
I mean, what does that mean?
He's very progressive.
That means he's desperate.
Well, they show her junk.
So he's going to go gay? Is that what it is?
It's not gay.
I think it's the fact that I'm not a girl and the fact that.
Steady means.
You're right.
I think that when she says I'm not a girl, I took it as, well, maybe she's implying that she can't have kids. Maybe she can't be that kind of girl.
No, I think it was maybe I'm a vampire.
Maybe she's owning her womanhood.
I want to say Ellie stood for Elliot at one point in this world.
Or Eloise. Well, either way, she didn't have any twigs and berries down there.
Yeah,
they showed that.
Yeah, in the book she was a dude, right?
Yeah.
A castrated boy.
Right. So there you go.
Adam, you know what that is.
He
read the book.
But it's wondrous like that. And why did they have to show us that scene when she's putting the dress on? You see her messed up junk, man. Her junk drawer, whatever it was. Yeah, but what's that trying to get you to think about?
It's supposed to freak you out.
It did freak me out.
I'm trying to tell you, we don't know that much about this person. We don't know what's going on.
It's a monster.
We don't know what they've been through.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, let's get back into one last thing I want to touch on. Because I did find this to be the most intriguing part of the story. It worked for me. It was her relationship with the caretaker. Because it sets up what path Oscar's going
very
down.
Much.
Yeah.
She takes him out in the hospital, man. This guy melts his face. He just says, Ellie, and he pours the acid on his face.
Yeah.
Like he's
what
checking
way
out.
Way to go, man. I would have drank it.
Like, what was it?
Oh, no.
For the movie, what's that supposed to work? What's that supposed to tell me about this guy?
It doesn't lead someone back to her, Ellie.
Okay.
He protected her.
Right. But why didn't he just kill himself then? I get that.
Maybe a guilt. He wanted to torture himself from guilt of killing people.
Mm-hmm. Or give somebody a culprit. So.
Oh, he's mutilating himself for maybe guiltish reasons. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. Like,
penance.
Like penance. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I sense that he had a lot of guilt.
He also could have been that one last meal for her. I guess he could have been thinking about her the whole time.
That's it.
Oh, maybe so.
Right.
She sucked her. She sucked him dry.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but the other part of that is that vampires have their keepers or their, what do you call them? What do they call
caretakers,
them?
Caretakers, handlers?
Handlers, caretakers, whatever
Renfields.
You want to call them.
Renfields. They're called Renfields.
A vampire literally has control over their mind.
Yeah.
After a while. That's what they do. They hypnotize them, basically, because, they got them eyes. they do that. They do their vampire
thing. Like a doll's eyes.
Yeah. But that's what they do. They literally have control over their mind. And they almost make them go crazy. So he would never have done something to hurt her.
What did you think
She was probably making him do that.
What did you think of that scene where he's getting tossed out the window? Even the way he fell out the window was interesting because he kind of just barely caught his head on the thing.
It made you cringe.
With the sound.
Everything
that
seemed...
was the sound, exactly.
Yeah.
Doing.
There were real interesting details in here, man.
They should have put the Price is Right thing at the end of that.
Yeah.
That would have made him hilarious.
Hey.
One more thing I wanted to bring up, which I thought was fantastic. When she was going to the hospital and the nurse heard the thing at the front door and went outside to smoke, and weren't looking, you wouldn't see it. Her crawling up the wall.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy.
I loved that. I loved that.
That was creepy.
When I saw that in the theater, I remember several people going, ooh, because they didn't know.
Yeah.
You just didn't know. And once again, it's so far away that you don't see it, but your mind thinks it sees more, like you said brilliantly, more than what it did.
Yeah, but the director knew what he was doing.
Oh yeah.
To draw your eye in that direction because he lit the three windows in a line, so you're automatically drawn to the brightest point, and then you see the shadow cross over it to catch it. It's really, I mean, that's just good stuff right there.
It's just good stuff.
It's called psychic lines, by the way. Psychic lines.
I'm gonna remember that.
But let's talk about the ending real quick. To me, that's the tragic ending when he's tapping on that box, taking her off to God knows where. Tapping on that box. Is that what you're like? Yeah.
Yeah. Taking her to dinner.
And that box. Say something for me for what I said about the cats.
That is a very tragic ending to me because I know where she came from. Mm-hmm. And I know where he's going now because of the writing and what surrounded the other characters. But he's tapping on that box. Tapping on the back. He's tapping on her crate on this train. Yep. His life, is, as he knows it, is over. Her old life is over. They're going off together now.
To Germany.
To Germany, as Adam says.
Right.
But that score, too, that haunting score that just goes in line with him tapping those sweet nothings to her as that big smile reaches his face. And you know that one day that smile is going to fade.
Sure.
Very powerful stuff to me.
Yeah, very.
That's the moment he went crazy.
I found it to be a happy ending. That's what I wrote. Yeah. He gets the girl at the end.
No, the girl gets him.
The girl's in parentheses. We don't know.
But he's happy. He has new love. I mean, his parents were checked out.
Until he enters his new world of hell.
That's true, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, it can be bittersweet a little bit.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I found it to be a happy ending.
But you know what? She had to have someone who could kill for her. Mm-hmm. And in the very beginning, he fantasizes about it, stabbing a tree.
Yeah.
This could be the right relationship.
Right. Well, and it probably won't have to kill for her for a while. She'll probably feed herself.
Nope. He's going to kill for her. He's now a serial killer.
Absolutely.
Because she even said to him, you know, I know, he said to her, well, you mean you kill people? And she at one line says, well, we know you think about it. So she knows she knows she's with the right dude.
Well,
and he's got a pointed stick already.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with her turning him into a vampire? Have you thought about that? Well,
maybe she needs a handler.
Well, we haven't read the books, really? Adam, so we don't know what happens.
She needs a 12-year-old handler?
I don't think that she
got to start him young.
She loves him.
Well, in the book, how does it end in the book?
You want me to give it away?
No, shut up. We don't want to do that. But also, something else, too. How long has this been going on for her? Has this been going on for centuries where she falls in love?
Yeah.
Watches this develop. He takes care of her. Then she finds someone else.
Since she had the egg, didn't she?
Yeah, because she stays the same age.
Interesting
what
stuff.
What the heck was that egg?
Fabergé egg, I guess.
What? No, because it was like a puzzle egg with a piece of gold in it or something.
Oh, it was King Tut's egg.
What does that mean?
It means King Tut was a little boy and he liked toys, so she knew King Tut. She probably killed him.
That's how old she is.
You know what we need to do is take another quick break. We're going to come back and so we're going to get into our top three undead characters. We're talking about 2008's Let the Right One In, so we'll be back in just a few.
Hey, let me see now. You would be from Austria, am I right?
No, I am Inga from Sweden.
Sweden? But you're wearing lederhosen.
Yeah, for sure, from Sweden.
All right, we're back again. Q Filmcast, talking about 2008's Swedish version of Let the Right One In. And brings us to our top three. Max, you ready?
Yes.
Top three undead characters. Let's get it going. How about you lead it off, Max? What you got for number three?
One of my favorite undead characters of all time. Number three, shark-fighting zombie.
I don't know what the hell that even is,
I know,
man.
That one.
It was a zombie that jumped in the water and had a fight with a shark.
Are you serious?
It's pretty amazing.
I'm not kidding.
It's
awesome.
Pretty amazing.
Yes.
It's a real guy and a real shark having a fight.
You're telling me the name of the movie is Shark?
No. No. The name of the movie is Zombie.
Zombie.
Oh, in Italy, it's Zombie 2, but here it's just Zombie.
Okay. Well,
and there's a part in the movie when the zombie jumps in the water.
Is this a Swedish film?
No. It's an Italian movie. Come on. Italian. Everybody knows Italians are the best cannibal and zombie movies.
Apparently, this made quite an impression on you. Who won? I got to know, the shark or the zombie?
I don't watch a lot of horror, and I remember this scene.
Everybody's seen this
zombie. It's crazy.
It's a sequel to Dawn of the Dead.
Will you show it to me sometime, Adam?
I'll show it to you here
probably have it on
20 minutes.
Blu-ray. Let's go to you. Good answer. I feel like this is a respected answer at this table. I don't respect it because I don't know it, but apparently it is.
People love it.
Producer, go. Number three, what you got?
I had a whole thing, but I'm throwing it away because I just watched this movie.
Damn.
Number three, What We Do in the Shadows, the whole entire vampire cast.
All right. The whole cast.
It was hysterical.
We'll just call it that movie.
You got to watch it.
It was really funny.
I can't wait to see it. Lisa wants to see it.
Really, really, really funny.
It's so worth it. It's so good. And as we were talking about this film, I kept thinking of scenes from that, especially about the throwing up and brilliant.
Yeah, the throwing up scene is just devastatingly funny.
Is it?
It's hilarious. It really okay. is.
Because he eats candy too.
Okay.
Mm-mm. He ate a chip.
Ate a chip.
Ah, I can't even have chips anymore. It's funny.
Yeah, that might be something we get to this Sunday, actually.
It's hilarious.
Matthew St. Hoodie, what's your number three?
I didn't know we were just naming the zombies that we liked.
But it's not zombies. It's undead characters.
Undead. Undead.
Okay. Well, then I can only think of two.
Uh-oh.
Well, we'll
how about that zombie from Shaun of the Dead when they go, dugga, 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 dugga. Him.
That's good.
That guy.
That guy's good.
That guy.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
The other two
will be real answers.
Okay, okay. I got you. I like the Durka Durka guy. That's
the Durka Durka guy, man.
Savage. Yeah. We're talking about top three undead people, characters,
yep.
whatever.
Yep. I'm inspired
by 2008's Let the Right One In. What you gonna
I'm
going
to keep it simple. All of mine are Dracula, but I'm going to tell you my favorite Draculas. Christopher Lee in everything he did, primarily Count Dracula, where he got younger before he got real cheesy with Dracula.
Yeah.
The old Christopher Hammer Lee. Films.
Christopher Lee, Dracula.
Yeah, he made a good Dracula.
He was
sure.
a great Dracula.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
no Leslie Nielsen.
And Peter yeah. Cushing made it.
Well, he wasn't
awesome
loving it.
Is he Count Dooku now? Is that his name? Count Dooku?
Yeah, he did.
Saruman, too.
Yeah, Saruman.
Count Dookie.
All right, my top three undead characters.
You know what I did here? I went with a theme.
No, I didn't go with a theme on this okay. one. I gave up my theme.
Right. Okay.
Actually, I think I'm going to change what I had. You know what? The hell with this. I'm inspired instantly.
All right.
By the last answer. I'm going to go with Gandalf the Grey. From Lord of the Rings.
Mm. Holy crap,
he come
you're
back.
Right.
He come back from Gandalf the Grey to Gandalf the White. That's right. a pretty good
So your answer is
character.
Gandalf the White, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the Grey.
Okay.
It'd the be brown. The
White. All right.
Gotta be the White.
I think you're right.
Gotta it's be the
White.
Because he was glowing.
Mm-hmm.
How That's you like that answer?
That's pretty awesome.
I'm not going to tell you what my original number three was, but I got thinking about it. I thought, wait a minute. Yeah, on wait. The fly, baby.
All
there
right,
we go.
All right. All right.
Gandalf the White.
That's pretty close to my number two. Maybe.
Max, let's get into number twos now. There's your number threes. Max, what you got for number two? Undead characters.
Number two, from Day of the Dead. Bub, smartest zombie that ever lived. sort of.
He knows how to play a Walkman.
He knows how to do everything.
Oh, that guy. I don't know what you're talking about.
The guy that sat there with the Walkman and they were all chasing him.
The guy who figured it out.
Yeah. I could also go City of the Living Dead. What was the black guy's name?
No, Land of the Dead.
Land of the Dead.
Yeah. I was about to say he was more intelligent.
That's
than
who the leader of the zombies.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
He led the zombie attack.
Yeah, I like the movie, but the idea of an intelligent zombie is just so stupid.
Do you like zombie movies?
I like them, but the idea of an intelligent zombie is stupid.
You have to know the progression of that spin.
You don't like them.
I like Land of the Dead.
What's that zombie movie where the kid falls in love with the girl and then turns not into a zombie?
Cold Hearts.
No.
Warm Bodies.
Cold Hearts.
Same thing.
That's actually a pretty good movie.
I hadn't seen it. I heard it's pretty good.
It's not too shabby.
It was good one time. Second time, it sucked.
What about your second
just
time?
Just like
man?
Adam.
Right,
yeah.
It sucked.
That's what all the ladies say about Adam.
Adam, number twos. We're talking about top three undead characters. What you got?
I'm going to go Roger Mortis from Dead Heat.
Don't know what the hell
Williams.
Is.
Terrible movie.
Do you know what that
he
is?
He was a cop that got bit.
The one with Jim Belushi?
No, Jim Belushi.
Who was in it?
No, you're thinking
Joe
of
Piscopo.
Red.
Joe Piscopo. Oh, that's even worse. Right. Joe Piscopo. God,
that makes it better.
But he becomes dead and he's falling apart. He's a cop trying to solve his own murder. It's awesome.
Just imagine Treat Williams and Joe Piscopo in the comedy of the century. Right. Yeah, that was a terrible movie. I hated it.
I've never seen this. Joe Piscopo, he made one damn movie with the cop movie.
Yeah, Dead Heat.
That's it, Dead Heat?
Or whatever it's called. I can't remember.
Yeah. It's Dead Heat.
Whatever. Number two for you, Hoodie. What is it going to be? Okay.
Stay with me now.
I'm with you. I'm focused, man. We're locked in. What is
it? Wesley from The Princess Bride.
Nicely done.
Because he was mostly dead.
Mostly.
And then they got the chocolate thing.
It would take a miracle.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Miracle Max.
Right.
There it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
Good
about.
Good answer.
All right. So it's kind of like the Gandalf the Grey, but not really.
That is a fantastic answer. I love that. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. He had fun storming the castle.
Because he was only mostly dead.
You're completely alive, Savage. Yeah. I want to know what your number two is.
Well, it's Dracula again. I'm going to go with Gary Oldman. Loved that film. I thought he made a good Dracula.
You mean Oldman?
Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
Love Gary Oldman.
I do love some Gary Oldman.
I love him so much I don't even know his name.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Thank God.
Wait a second. I'm going to tell you right now, I think that's one of my favorite Draculas. I'm not very unapologetic about that.
That's a good film. Other than the miscast Keanu Reeves.
But. Awful. It made it beautiful at the same time. I'm going to go out on something, on a limb here. I was thinking about real abstract answers no one would have. And I recently have seen this film, again, Scrooged, 1988.
Yeah.
I'm talking about John Forsythe. undead. He comes back as Bill Murray's boss, his prick boss. He comes
back. Yeah, yeah, the little guy. Yeah, yeah,
and he's just treating him like crap again. Even after he's dead, he's still a prick boss.
That's a great answer.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I love that movie.
If you watch that again, that's a great zombie boss.
Zombie boss. That sounds like a great movie.
Right. Max, what's your number one? We're talking about undead characters, my man. What you got?
Count Orlok and Nosferatu.
Nice.
Scared the pants off me the first time I watched it. It'd probably scare me now if I watched it again. It's scary.
It almost looks like a found footage film now.
Except for those teeth.
Yeah.
The teeth are retarded.
So weird.
It's 1922 and it's scary.
That's how they describe Dracula.
And there's no words.
He's got those beaver teeth.
And he got no color. He's all quiet.
It's like, it looks like a bald beaver.
And weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's all pasty and white. Beaver.
Awesome.
Adam, top that. That's a quality number one answer right there. Can you go a little further there? What you got? Number one for you.
The best one of all time. Easily, hands down, Frankenstein.
Okay.
That's a good answer.
You like that answer, Seb?
The best answer.
The best answer would have been Frankenstein's monster.
Ooh, look at that.
Zing!
You know what I mean.
There's a little bit of education your way, Adam.
Frankenstein was the man,
I
the doctor.
I know, Victor. Yes, I know.
Frankenstein.
A lot of Frankensteins, too.
Yeah, there is.
Frankenstein. You're not going to throw that in there?
No.
Which Frankenstein, Adam?
Oh, easy. Boris Karloff.
Okay. All right, number one, Hoodie.
I feel like this is a cheesy answer, but I got to go with it. It's a staple of my childhood, The Crow.
Yep.
The Crow, okay.
That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bit of a dated film.
Yo, yeah.
Ooh.
Don't watch it.
You're like, I haven't
seen that in years. Just leave it. Don't watch it again.
Don't do it.
Hold the memory tight.
Yeah. That's a good undead
to your
character.
Bosom. Don't let it go.
What about you, Savage? Yeah. What are you going to kick
it's,
off?
It's
one?
Dracula, and I'm gonna go an updated version of the Max Schreck. I'm going to go Klaus Kinski and Nosferatu the Vampire.
Klaus Kinski.
So weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah.
And just impactful. He's just creepy as Dracula. So.
That's Werner Herzog for you.
Yeah, right.
All right, let me tell you what my number one is then. This is a stupid, stupid answer. I like it, though. I'm going with Mr. Jangles from The Green Mile. The mouse.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? How's that for an answer no one else has?
Is beautiful. Is he undead or is he immortal?
I'm telling you right now, he got crunched by, what's his face?
Percy.
Okay. All right.
And then John Coffey breathed on him, and the mouse came back, and then Michael Jeter played with it.
He's had some coffee breath, huh?
Was it Michael Jeter? No, that's the baseball player.
That's Derek Jeter's baseball.
Sorry. Yeah, Derek Jeter.
It's hockey around here, people. It's only hockey.
Yeah, Derek Jeter comes in here and plays with him out. No. But you know what I'm talking about, Mr. Jangles. Because at the end of the movie ends with the undead Mr. Jangles.
There you go.
Mr. Jangles.
Wow.
That guy's
zombie mouse.
I like Zombie Wolf.
It was a zombie mouse, basically, yeah.
Actually, I like Zombie Wolf by Frank Zappa.
Actually, I like the movie The Green Mile a lot.
It's a good film.
Have you read the book? Because in the book, Mr. Jangles,
he's actually
he goes
a frog.
To Germany.
He goes to Germany.
Yeah, he's a frog. It's actually a cow. Percy punches him in the face, and he falls over, and they put him in the electric chair.
So we're done then.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Number once. We got it. There you go. Top three undead characters inspired by the film we talked about with much vigor.
Yeah.
We're talking about 2008's Let the Right One In. I think we let the right film in to the queue tonight, and that's because of the producer queuing this one up. Yes. Good on you, Adam. I appreciate it. I'm glad that we talked about this. I would tell you that if this is on Netflix and you hadn't seen it, you should watch this one.
Right now.
Stop what you're doing and go.
Let it in.
Yeah. We talked about undead things, but I think the show was pretty lively.
Sure.
And it brings us to next week's reveal.
Yep.
But before we do that, let's wrap this up. Max, how many did this movie get? 43?
43 Attacking Cats.
43 Attacking Cats. Let's make sure we put that out there. We gave this a pretty good review.
Yeah.
It's good.
If it's on Netflix, you should probably watch it.
Yeah. If you don't mind reading movies.
I tell you what, it felt like literature. I'll say that again. Yeah. Let's go over to James Hartsup Savage. Next week's big reveal.
Yeah.
What you got for us?
Independent Canadian film called... Yeah. A set on a reservation, Mi'kmaq reservation, called Rhymes for Young Ghouls.
Don't know anything about this film, but I love that title.
I can't wait to see it. It sounds awesome.
Is it a horror movie?
It's about breakdancing. We talked about this.
Rhymes for Young Ghouls set on an Indian reservation. In Canada.
Breakdancing battles on the Indian reservation.
Right.
That I can't wait to see.
You won't be disappointed.
He won't be disappointed.
Was it by the Cannon Group?
Golden Globus.
If there's rap music and battles and stuff on an Indian reservation, it's got to be Golden Globus in Canada.
Right.
It's got to be.
Right.
So from all of us here at the Q, good night once again. Next week, Rhymes for Young Ghouls.
They're undead.
They're kind of undead. I bet you there's some undead people in this.
Maybe.
Who knows? That's next week, guys. Rhymes for Young Ghouls. This was Let the Right One In 2008. And we'll see you next week. And until then, however it is you say, good night.